Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Spectral Storm, and it is the 11th day of the Red Moon Wave Spell, and it is also Galactic Moon, Day 10. And to be very honest about a few things, I'm podcasting the day after, and I am podcasting in a location and ambiance that has some sounds of dogs, and so it is. I have been a little bit sick, I've been on a vacation, and it's a weird national holiday that caught me by surprise after a national sort of fake holiday of Valentine's. So I am a little scattered. Mercury is going retrograde now, sort of has made it to retrograde proper in the last day, but I really want to nail down Blue Spectral Storm for reasons that are super interesting and sort of devastating. So we are going to address that in a moment, and perhaps the other piece about Mercury retrograde is that I really do lose my public communication oomph. And I find immediate heavy-duty introversion to be the methodology of the retrograde proper, and that I also might get really busy repairing some things, but it doesn't seem like Mayan astrology needs that. So we will limp through the next 20 days. I'm not trying to be super cynical about the potential for really cool things to happen. We're going to be entering the White Wind Wave Spell, where there's a lot of truth-telling and spirit communication, and I ought to be able to access new, interesting, evolving perspectives on the calendars. But my temperament, my personality is just super alone. So this is a breakout moment that I put off for 24 hours. And you might be in your own kind of seclusion or reaction, suddenly awakening to retrograde issues. It's been super dynamic around me, and let me really sink into some retrograde perspectives that I hold. I mean, either I have something in my Western astrology chart that makes Mercury pivotal for me, or my high empathy, high sensitivity issues mean that I feel the Mercury retrograde when it begins its pre-shadow phase, which was already 3 weeks ago. But by the time we hit this actual like portal into the retrograde, a couple of days, the 16th and 17th, I'm pretty acclimated. Like already I've had car issues. I've had multiple car issues. I definitely have communication blowups. I mean, that might be just being a blue storm, but you know, I can see that things have been set back, slowed down, in very prototypical ways already, and that I'm very reluctant to do anything with confidence that's future-oriented in any part of the retrograde phase. So I made a couple of decisions in the last 3 weeks, 20 days, but I, you know, who knows what will come to pass when, you know, I bought a plane ticket. Will I make it onto that airplane? It's a mystery. And then I've also had some, you know, revisiting the strong, strong impulse to be in the past through experience of traveling somewhere, you know, where I'm from, or connecting with relative that, you know, hasn't been in my current life for a couple of decades, but is, you know, I'm deeply reunited with now. So these are beautiful things. Mercury retrograde is not a terrible time at all. It is just so different, and to me so powerfully different, and powerlessly different. So using that trope as, you know, it's oriented to recovery language, you know, I'm powerless over something, but there's a higher power that has all the domain, and that we turn over our will and our power to that higher frequency and governance, and we surrender and we are allowed, you know, sort of parental care, and we have to cede that we have authority or really any kind of superior influence over situations in our lives. Like the Mercury retrograde powerlessness, once we acclimate to it, becomes, you know, a beautiful kind of existence in being with what is, a very present time with some deep reflection into the past, and I think solutions of things in the past that have been confounding or harmful, that there is resolution that arises. And it's kind of magical, extremely magical, to look at the synchronicities of how things from the past surface for us in this time. And the points of suffering are usually pretty mechanical and almost comical. You know, the arguments with loved ones, the certainty that we have to break up with people, quit jobs, you know, create endings. That's very retrograde to me. And but the more people around you that you're willing to share your experience or, you know, the details of how Mercury retrograde is described, the more you create a community where there is humor and you know, like collective surrender, fascination with how real the magic seems. And that's why I talk about Mercury retrograde in a Mayan astrology world, because natural time to me is expanding our view of nature to consider the etheric world, the unseen nature, frequencies that do seem to dictate synchronicity and magic. And I have found that Mercury retrograde absolutely fits that description. If I were more savvy about Western astrology, I would be also tripping out on Jupiter retrogrades and trines and conjunctions. I just don't know about it, and sometimes I'm fearful of feeding my analytical brain and my hypersensitivity any more points of orientation to understanding how the world is sort of thrust into movements, gestures that are beyond our control. Like I think about that all the time anyhow. So there are also the ambient sounds of people, and we're just going to have it. It's my retrograde gift to you. I cannot close all the windows in the heat wave we're in the global warming experience we're in. They're nice, benign college students who love marijuana. So Blue Spectral Storm, first thing I want to say about it, the reason I'm holding on to the past as my portal into this podcast is because I was listening to a different podcast that I love where they count down to election day 2020, November 3rd, 2020. And they said 261 days till election. And I listened a day late. And then I realized that we were 260 days from the election and that the election is going to be on Blue Spectral Storm. And it just made me really sad in a way, frustrated. I don't think that's a good sign at all. I could be wrong, but here's why I have that orientation. Because Sunday, February 16th, which was Blue Spectral Storm, had just a bunch of crappy stuff going on. I mean, it was a retrograde moment, meaning it was the gateway into Mercury turning fully retrograde. And please research this online or in a book if you don't get it, because I'm not good at explaining it. I'm just good at tracking it. But, you know, I just think that yesterday, Sunday, February 16th, just was like fraught with difficulties that arise around people suddenly sort of turning on each other because there's this outside influence of discord, which I think is meant to drive us to be insular, to not be an intimate connection. That's why the communication breakdown happens, to teach Westerners and modernists that we have to carve out time of touching deeply into ourselves, and not in an egotistical way. We're like, look at me. You know, you create something on your own and go, look at me, world. Here's my selfie. Here's my picture of what I ate for lunch. And I've done that. But I just mean it's true introspection with no photo feed to follow. You know, just yourself and your troubles, or yourself and your anxieties, yourselves and your sense of lack. And then you find your way back to your God, because being alone with all of that anxiety or loss is too painful. So you're driven in a state of pure surrender to be like, okay, I cannot handle this. Can you please help me? And it's not a time when you can usually get humans to help you. And you probably are too fucked up to help humans. Like, that's why this podcast is late, because I could not pull it together on Blue Spectral Storm to get on the air, to sit at my desk and turn on the mic and, you know, track the noise levels outside. And just, I couldn't face it. The retrograde energy was setting me adrift into this place of, it's an initiation and seclusion, and it's also just a huge will and appetite for things to be simple and solitary, so that my life can be modified for at least 20 days, if not carrying past the retrograde, where I remember the importance of the sanctity of being alone with my perceptions that are then informed by a divine force. Anyway, Blue Spectral Storm, 260 days from now, you know, seeded in some way, like a consummated insemination for what's going to happen 260 days from now, November 3rd. You know, look at the augury, look at the headlines, if you like, look at the different behaviors of the candidates, look at the concerns of our time right now. It's really noisy, sorry. And then be in the anticipation that having an election on Blue Spectral Storm, I mean, that's just a nightmare. If you're not in America and you don't have this kind of sound, then I just want to make this a very, like, welcome to America program. I have the sense that in more evolved, culturally and artistically evolved places, which is, maybe some Americans will resent me saying this, like Europe, that they don't have the necessity of having vehicles that make sonic disturbance when they're going backwards, because they make this assumption that they can actually go backwards without having to warn everyone. And this is the sound of the garbage truck. And I'm going to pause the podcast, even though it's pretty amusing. Pretty retrograde. Okay, this is actually really amusing to me, because now there's just a lot of dog sounds again, as was originally intended, and I want to take a segue from the Blue Spectral Storm to mention that Red Moon, which is the wave spell we are completing, no matter when you're listening, I mean, whether it's on Monday or Tuesday, we're still in the Red Moon wave spell. It's completing, and it's supported by White Dog, the quality of the dog life, and this time supports the dog water. And dogs are analogs, are similar and supportive, and so you got to hear dogs lapping water. And thanks for your patience. I have a pretty irreverent approach to technology and podcasting, and I hope you're endeared to it by now. So you can reflect on your Blue Spectral Storm Sunday. You can review maybe the headlines of the moment. But mostly, I just want to say the quality of Blue Spectral Storm is really hard for an election that's going to feel grounded and authentic. Authentic meaning substantiated instead of resisted. It's going to be the breaking of a wave into a storm, which we know enough about, and it's going to be in a blue storm year. So it's going to be an amplified moment. Blue storm year, blue storm day. Blue lunar storm year, blue spectral storm day. We're going to have moved through the antipode wave spell of the year, being back in red moon again in a blue storm year. It'll feel like, ooh, this is balancing, but somehow the opposite energy of our year itself. And then the breakthrough moment of everyone getting in the voting booths is going to be In the upsurgence, stormy energy, also the dissolution of everything that's sort of material and static and planetary, and there's going to be such a clear upheaval and transformation is a positive way to spin that. I do not future tell using Mayan astrology. I had a lot of hope when I saw that January 1st, 2020 was a red self-existing Skywalker year, even though we're in, clearly we're in a white magnetic wizard year, meaning we start our Mayan year on July 26, 2019. We're still carrying on with that year, but if you want to date stamp in the Dzogchen, January 1st, 2020, thus naming the year that we call 2020, it's red self-existing Skywalker, and that's Obama and Bill Clinton and John McCain, and also a portal, and it's prophecy, and it's form-oriented prophecy, and that seemed hopeful. And when we get to the idea that the election itself is on blue spectral storm, wouldn't it be great if Bernie Sanders' revolution was the breakthrough and the transformation? But isn't it just as likely that the apocryphal moment is going to be to feel like the kind of storm you don't want to sit through? The end. I don't know the future, and I'm so sorry. I'm not going to talk about it endlessly. But when we get to these 260-day advances, the conception of something that will be birthed 260 days forward, it's interesting to me. And, you know, part two of this tiny little adjunct point is that I'm experiencing my 52-year return on November 23rd of 2020. So 20 days after the election day will be my birthday, where I come home to myself at age 52. My Gregorian birthday, 11/23/68, and my Mayan astrology birth sign, blue overtone storm, they were the same on 11/23/68, and they'll be the same on 11/23/2020. You all also pass through the 52-year return. It's almost like the end of a lifetime, but we keep living. So in 20 days from now, I also am going to be reconceived in order to be reborn. So I'm interested in these stacked storm synchronicities. Okay, and then the last thing is, like I've said this in a few recent podcasts, or from time to time I mention it. So I'm born in 1968. It's a pretty pivotal year in modern human evolution, the revolution of the 60s. We're in the 52-year return, not just for Lisa Starr, but for all of that time. In fact, I minimize my part in that, other than I'm trying to guide you to know your own timeline or cycling through Mayan astrology in the midst of your aging process. But it's really cool that we're 52 years after and returning to the summer of 1968, the summer of love. You know, if you're into history, whether it's American or any culture, maybe in the westernized countries from that time, student protests, anti-war protests, anti-authority, anti-establishment attitudes created a really dynamic baby boomer-led, charged recreation of concepts like how we listen to music, what music is, what a film is, what art is, what sex is, what we imbibe, hallucinogenic drugs. And we have some kind of homecoming to all of that energy field as well. The summer of love was right at the crossing point from white magnetic wizard to blue lunar storm. And the election of 1968, which ushered in Richard Nixon. Sigh, here we go. I'm not going to talk more about that right now. I'll get heavily into politics when we get closer, because that's my way these days. I'm fascinated. The way spell we've been in is a red moon, and functionally you're listening on a crystal or a cosmic day, and you can sort of review it with me here. Red moon teaches us how to be in the flow, to find the flow, how to purify ourselves. We're drawn towards purification rituals, whether it's simply bathing or, you know, house cleaning or organizing stacks of papers. Like, we want to feel rinsed and refreshed, and we don't want sort of the dirty element of our lives clogging the channels that are meant to be wide open and in fluid movement. We're also drawn to water. It's a super hormonal time in some fashion, you know, mood swing wise, and that's probably where I want to share or close, is that close out the red moon wave spell. It's just like, you know, again, for me, I'm drawn to water, but I live by the water. I support my dogs by getting them to the water. I do like, you know, hanging out in a bathtub or taking my shower and all these simple dishwashing, you know, we encounter water in so many magical ways that we take for granted. Like, all of that sort of conscious, but the real work of the red moon wave spell to me, or red moon days, is owning our emotional core, understanding that we have mood swings that we have to surrender to because they're governed by the moon interacting gravitationally with the earth, and that we are so deeply liquid that we get pulled into the turbulence of charged tide changes that's under the full and new moons, the imbalance of the tidal cycles at that time. We are soothed. Right now we're at, you know, what you would call sort of the quarter moon. It looks like a half moon in the sky, where the tides are much more balanced, and maybe our temperaments are as well. But as a woman, I recognize that the red moon wave spell has been like massively weepy. I can attribute that to personal hormonal stuff, but it's all, you know, seated in the teaching of red moon, which is that we can't live an emotionless life any more than when we pass through yellow warrior. We can really avoid conflict or our own defensive martial attributes. When we come next to white wind, it's very difficult to lie and also to be quiet, because white wind is about communication and it's about truth telling on some level. After that, it's blue eagle, and it's just very, very hard to move through the blue eagle wave spell without really feeling ourselves rising in a kind of remove and looking at big picture problems or solutions, whether it's, you know, using our head a lot to resolve problems, or, you know, we're being visionary, like, this is what I see in the world. This is our, you know, human change evolution that I suddenly can estimate because I'm high up in the sky. And then finally, yellow star. It's very hard to not want to look beautiful and draw attention to ourselves in yellow star, to be gleaming, you know, rather than obfuscating. We want to shine and be bright and powerful for that. And those are the wave spells that we have left for this Dzogchen. And then we begin again. And so in the red moon time, in order to keep balanced, working through all the 20 tribes evenly, which is the whole cycle of life that the Dzogchen offers, we go through red moon in reverence to water, but I think very strongly learning what it's like. And all of us can experience this, male or female, but what it's like to be beholden to the fluctuating changes in our body that our mind cannot overcome. So all of us have hormonal, you know, surges and pitfalls. And I think, you know, it's a very powerful thing to make tears, you know, to weep, to cry out, to feel the stress release that happens when we actually, you know, our faces are wet with fraught emotion, or, you know, sometimes the emotion is powerfully, you know, reverent. It's not sadness. It's not necessarily grief. It's just awe. And, you know, all the iterations of why we cry. But it's been a very cryy time for me. And I'm down with crying. Like, crying, I know physiologically that's a healthy thing to do, but you kind of have to catch yourself, like, where and when it overtakes you, right? Because of humanity and judgment and concern. I mean, I think it's another ritual that can be so powerful if you don't have to put a lid on it, because you have carved out time in solitude, you know, where you're alone, already like sort of forced to grapple with, where is my God? And I'm going to let the other people, you know, step aside for this moment of insulated, introspective reverence. And then you cry and you have all the space to do it. tell a quick story, although I was reluctant. You know, I don't like publicizing some of my personal experiences on the podcast anymore, but I went to Northern California, where I'm from, and on the White Planetary Mirror Day, which is a portal and the day of, you know, human sacrifice, I was wondering what the sacrifice would be, and ultimately I sort of saw it, you know, would my heart feel cut out in some way? But, you know, always that day has the potential to just be the most ceremoniously powerful outreach and connection to the heavens. And I took four, like, walks with my dogs in Northern California that day. Four. They were tired. I was the leader. You know, usually I try to keep up with them. They didn't want to keep, you know, walking on these trails under the redwoods, but I was soaking it up because I live in Southern California with palm trees. And, you know, being in the quietude of late dusk and a cooler shadow side of a mountain under the sequoias, this tall, skinny, young redwoods with all their needles fallen to make this, like, quiet path, carpet in the forest, and the water running down the mountain in sort of a rocky, exposed stream, and the dogs, you know, loving all that beauty. I saw that the trees along the path, these perfectly, singularly vertical trees, like a redwood just goes straight to the sky. There's no, like, curvature to their trunk. I just, like, well, I'm gonna hug this tree. You know, it's a cliche to be a tree hugger, and I hugged the tree, and I just immediately started sobbing. And who knows, you know, whether I'm feeling the pain of the tree or the tree is supporting me through suddenly an access point to my own bereavement. I probably the latter. I mean, I think the trees are always going to be healthier than the people, right? Even if we burn them up, I think that they just have a simpler, clearer path to staying pure, which we can emulate. But I sort of found myself, you know, crying around in the in the forest at twilight, you know, just like recognizing that these extreme vertical channels, you know, go straight to God and are godlike themselves, and that I needed, you know, to beg for their blessing or something. And that was White Planetary Mirror, the highest peak of this purification and emotional wave spell that we've been in. You know, next will be White Wind, but I'm due to podcast right away, so I'm going to attend to that further when we get there. I want to point out that we're still in the galactic moon, and the most crucial thing to say about it, because I've gone pretty in-depth the last couple of podcasts, is, you know, let yourself live in the inquiry, do I live what I believe? And trust yourself, especially if you're doing the insulating and separating. You know, people call it isolating, but right now I just wouldn't. In retrograde, I would not penalize yourself for being drawn inward or away from folks. I would say, oh, you're going kind of on the pilgrimage inside, and you can answer the question, do I live what I believe, sometimes more clearly when other people aren't like, well, what about living what I believe? Or are you sure you believe that? That's kind of weird. You know, you get to see the signs, do I live what I believe? The question is going to be supported by what's coming into your life in this moon. And you're going to be able to assess it and take notes, either literally write them down or just observe about yourself, like, oh, this is what I believe. And do I live it? You know, we're discovering both things right now, what we believe and how close our path, daily life, or the larger picture attributes of our life are in alignment with it. And we are, I think, drawn towards creating more alignment, more inner harmony. It's very hard to do outer harmony. But if everyone does the work of inner harmony, harmonizing, then maybe we move into the next phase of the calendar's path, you know, less conflicted and less inclined to project our lack of inner harmony outward, or, you know, just wanting to meet the world more harmoniously because we have integrated broken parts of ourselves, and we therefore, ergo, have more integrity. And, you know, I also am doing, you know, really conscious personal writing work right now that supports me digging into the past and the root of some of my patterns, because that's very retrograde, while also looking at how I am going to create more harmony or integration to myself. I also, you know, am sick a little bit, just enough that I'm slow on the podcast uploading. So please trust that if you've heard this, you have another episode coming right down the path. And thanks for waiting. But also, I really put every effort into making this timeless so that you could pick it up, even though it's later than the subject matter. Blue spectral storm is a massive energy field, and you can, you know, hold it in your sights. You can let it go, it's past, but you can hold it in your sights. It's pretty auspicious for its next arrival point in November. I'm Lisa Starr. I'm another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, Idna Kesh.